Matthew's Gospel, chapter 10, and verse 16. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents, and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues, and ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. But when they persecute you in this city, flee ye into another. For verily I say unto you, ye shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. The disciple is not above his master, and the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master, and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of the household? And God shall stamp with his own divine seal of approval this reading from his very own infallible word, and to his great name shall all the glory be. The 10th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, and the verse 16, the words of our blessed Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents, and harmless as doves. The Bible uses animals as pictures of various types of depraved man or redeemed man. The types are a picture of the deep significance and characteristics of the persons characterized. The unity, the consistency, and the spiritual reflection of these animal types are wonderful to behold in the Word of God. God gives eyes to understand the message he is sending to us from his book. Through eye-gate, he delivers his most staggering messages. Now the wolf, as a type, is so evidenced as we read the Bible. The Bible has much to say about wolves and clearly interprets what it means, typically, in the Word of God. In studying any type in the Bible, there are three things you remember. First of all, where is the first time that this matter is mentioned? The law of the first mention. And every subject in Scripture, and every animal in Scripture, and then every river in Scripture, and every town in Scripture, and everything in Scripture, the first time it's mentioned, gives a golden key that opens the rest of the Bible to that subject. There's no other book in the world. No other book in the world is like that. But there's something more. You have to remember the law of the further mention. Where is the second time that this matter is mentioned? Because the law of the further mention helps to cast more light upon the law of the first mention. And then the last mention, the law of the final mention, is the most important of all. Because the Bible is like a flower. You get the seedling, you get the shoot, and then you get the flower, and then you get the full scent of the flower. So we come to the last one, and we see the mind of God in the law of the final mention. Now the wolf is first mentioned in the Bible in Genesis chapter 49, verse 27. There's an old man, they call him Jacob. He's going to die. He can die when he wants to. That's an interesting thing, isn't it? And he wants to die, and he's going to die. And as he sits up in his bed, he calls his 12 sons around his bed. And he speaks to each one of them, and he describes their character, their future, and their eternity. For he was a prophet. Jacob. Jacob the prophet. Called Israel. Because he was a prince with God and had prevailed. And he calls his last son Benjamin. And he says, Benjamin shall raven as a wolf. In the morning he shall devour the prey. And at night he shall divide the spoil. Now, if you study that scripture and compare it with Judges 3:15, 1 Samuel 11, 6-11, and 14:13-48, and Acts 7:58, and Acts 8:11 and 12, and 9:13, and 14:21, and 22:4-8, and 2 Timothy 1:13. You will find an interesting comment. Now this word wolf is further mentioned in Isaiah 11:16. But it tells us something interesting that's going to happen to the wolf. It tells us that the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. Just think of that. A wolf dwelling with a lamb. And the leopard shall lie down with the kid. And the calf and the young lion and the fatling together. And a little child shall lead them. This is the 1,000-year reign of Christ looked upon the earth, known in prophecy as the millennium. What a change is going to take place in this world of ours. The clever politicians and legislators tell us they're going to make a change. But the only person can change this world is the blessed Son of God. And what a change he's going to make. The final mention is in Acts 20 and verse 29. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. The following allusions are made about the wolf in the scripture. Its ferocity is mentioned in Genesis 49:27, in Ezekiel 22:27, in Habakkuk 1:8, and in Matthew 7:15. Its night habits are mentioned in Jeremiah 5:6, Zephaniah 3:3, and in Habakkuk 1:8. Its attacking sheep is mentioned in John 10 and 12, Matthew 10:16, and Luke 10 and 3. In a country where a large part of the wealth consisted in the flocks of sheep, the habits of wolves was thoroughly known in the Holy Land or Palestine. And they were often used as symbols of such actions and habits of mankind as they bear resemblance to them. Isaiah describes the tranquility of the reign of the great Messiah. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid. Elsewhere, persecutors of the church and haters of God's people are described, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. There is no escape from this situation. God has stated that he has given a commission to his church and to his people. And he has told them to go forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. There's another strange comparison. The wisdom of the serpent and the harmlessness of the dove linked together in unity. There is no way whereby you as a Christian can get away from your position as being sent forth as a sheep amidst the wolves. There's no way of avoiding it. There's no way of escaping from it. Christ commands us, and Christ orders us, and Christ says to us, in plain, straight language, what we must do and how we are to obey his word. What is the verse? The verse 16 of Matthew chapter 10. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. We have here three propositions. Number one, the inescapable command. Behold, I send you forth. Secondly, the impossible conditions humanly speaking, as sheep in the midst of wolves. And thirdly, the incontestable commission, wise as serpents and harmless as doves. These are our open orders from the Lord. Strange orders indeed. Let's have a look at them. The inescapable command, behold, I send you forth. What a sight is this? Now I can well understand the picture of the wolf going in among the sheep, of attacking the sheep, of tearing them, killing them, and hunting them, and leaving an awful and terrible sea of blood. In fact, it has been said that one wolf could kill in one day, if he got among sheep, at least 1,000 sheep. At least 1,000. Now we can well picture that. But this text says the very opposite. This text tells me that the sheep are going to invade the wolves. If anybody else said that, you would laugh them out of court. But this is what the Lord's saying. The Lord's saying, I'm not sending you to destruction. I am sending you to destroy the wolves. What a sight is this. Nature can never do this work, but God can do it through his chosen man and woman. The almighty grace of God always works miracles. It reverses natural law and brings in the superiority of God's laws. There's a strange blending here of that that is never seen in nature. The nature between the mixture of the serpent of the dust and the harmless bird of the air, the dove. I tell you, God can pick good out of evil and pick the diamond from the dunghill. Grace is a miracle that he's talking about. This is a matter of grace. Here we have an inescapable command. All of these apostles had callings. Some of them were fishermen. Some of them were publicans or tax gatherers. But all had a common calling. God sent them among the wolves. This call overrides all other commandments. All the apostles had 3 years with Christ, learning from the greatest of all instructors how they should do the job. Then suddenly, the Lord Jesus, out of the blue, gives them the colossal task. What does he say? He says, we require Christ's instructions first, so I'm giving them to you. And he says, I'm telling you, child of God, get out among the wolves. Go to the Sabbath school material among the boys and girls. Get recruits from the children of today for the army of the man and woman of God for tomorrow. Go! Go, go, go everywhere there are people. Go and testify and exhort with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. There is only one remedy for the world's ills. You have the cure. Go and look for the sin-sick souls of men. Go after the lost sheep. Lift up your eyes and behold the harvest. On every hand, the situation is calling for your immediate intervention. Go somewhere. Go everywhere where the need is, where the opportunity presents itself. I send you forth. The Lord says it. He'll give you the power to accomplish the task. Don't go until you have tarried and have been endued with power from on high. Behold, I send you forth. To the sick ones, to the devil-possessed ones, to the broken ones, to the fallen ones, to one and all, there is one message. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out the devils. Freely you have received, freely give. God shall supply your need. Go with your head high. Go with God uplifting you in faith. Go looking for miracles to be done. Go, 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 for Christ is going with you. No, I am with you. Let's turn for a moment to the impossible conditions as sheep in the midst of wolves. Sometimes when our hearts are strangely stirred to do God's work, we forget that our constant companion ever in the work of God will be the enmity of the wolves, especially the evening wolves, which are spoken about in God's Word. They're ever there to tear the saints of God, to destroy the work of God, to hinder the man and woman of God. And I have listed something briefly of their history tonight. If you glance at the Scriptures, you will find the work of the devil's apostles is always preeminent. Please note what the Bible says of these wolves. The Bible identifies them, and it says you will be in a perpetual minority. You're only like a handful of sheep among these wolves. You're going to be surrounded. But one with God is the winning minority, not the losing majority. Remember, out there you stand alone and you have no sympathizers. Don't expect. Could I just take up this? Don't expect to please anyone. I think we have that illustrated tonight in the meeting. I actually met that man last night at the city hospital and witnessed to him in the city hospital when I was there seeing my friend, the secretary of our church. Don't have any sympathy for the wolves. The tiniest lamb is a mighty opponent and is going to win the battle. And if you look with me at Luke chapter 10, just open your Bible and look at Luke chapter 10, you'll find something there. And Luke chapter 10, it tells us in verse 3, go your ways, behold I send you forth as sheep among wolves. No, it's changed in Luke. It's the lambs among wolves now. The sheep, the full-grown sheep, may have a little strength, but the Lamb has no strength. So we are poor, strengthless lambs among these wolves. And then I turned over to the book of Revelation. And my heart leapt with joy, for every thing about defeating the devil is attributed not to the sheep of God, but to the Lamb of God. The Holy Spirit has his names right, absolutely right. And we were told they overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Christ is not sending us into hiding. He is sending, or for a hiding either. He is sending us to be honored. We're going to win the battle. God is not sending us to be defeated. He's sending us out to defeat all his and our enemies. He is not sending us even to win the victory. The victory has already been won. He is sending us to celebrate the victory as sheep, as lambs in the midst of wolves. Finally, we have the incontestable commission. Be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Well, might this part bring in that word, behold? For what do we read in our text as we come to it? In verse 16, behold! A word of attention. A miracle's going to happen. The harmless dove and the wisdom of the serpent is going to win the day. The serpent enrolls fighters of the serpent class to attack us. These serpents are more than subtle in their stratagem. They glide in and out of situations. Silence is better than speech with them. If you want to get victory over the devil, say to the Lord rebuke Satan for me. And the Lord will rebuke him. That's what the angel said. And the angel was right. Be on your guard. For the devil is able to get in anywhere. Anywhere. You remember in Eden. In God's garden, who turned up at the tree? The devil turned up at the tree. Who was it that came with the angels to meet God? In regard to his servant Job, the devil came. Who turned up in the wilderness to attack Christ? The devil. Remember, the devil was busy and cunning, and he knows what he wants to do. But the devil has a point of weakness. You ask God to show you where the devil's weakness is, and then you go for the jugular. This is war to the death. The dove is known for its innocence. The dove is without horn or hoof or fang or sword. But the dove gains a victory because of its wisdom and gentleness. Like the dove, we are to be unflappable, because in that lies our great strength. Could I end by telling you of a young man, and he was serving with the great prophet Elisha. And one morning he got out of bed, and he climbed the stairs to the wall of the city, and he looked out. And all around the city was the great army of Syria, his employer's enemy. And he knew they were lost. locked up in the city, surrounded by the might of the Syrians. And what did Elisha do? He said, Lord, this young man is blind. He's crying. He says, we're finished. He says, we'll never escape. It's all over. Open the young man's eyes. And suddenly, the young man got his eyes open. And what did he see? Around Elijah, he saw the chariots of the Lord and the horsemen thereof. And when he saw those chariots and those horsemen, he was delighted. He rejoiced. And Elisha said, greater is he that is with us than they that are with the enemy. As we enter these serious days ahead, when momentous events will come and momentous decisions will have to be taken, I trust we'll all remember that greater is he that is with us than he that is against us. I was reading an old hymn book today, and I found these verses. Why should we fear a frowning world? Below the earth's foundations shake, the rocks into the sea be hurled, and nature all in pieces break. The Lord Jehovah's our defense. His love supports our sinking hearts. The rock of his omnipotence. Through flames of fire we safely go. Receive no harm and feel no pain. The waves cannot our heads overflow when crossing the tempestuous main. Though seas of blood and fields of death, through seas of blood and fields of death, we march with dauntless courage on, immortal till God takes our breath, immortal till our work is done. God giveth to his people the victory. Now there are those in this meeting, and they're under the domination and under the power of these wolves of sin. Can I tell you, Christ can break their power and he can set you free. And all of the enemies of your soul, intent in damning you in hell forever, that power can be broken and you can become a true Christian tonight. By closing with Christ, let God break the power of the wolves. Let God break the power of his satanic enemies. And may God give you freedom. And as children of God, let us rejoice in this great truth. Greater is he that is with us than any can be against us. If God before us, who can be against us? He shall tread Satan under our feet shortly. And when C.T. Studd read that verse, when he went to Africa as a missionary, he prayed an appropriate prayer. He says, Lord, give me big feet so I can stand on the devil's head. May the Lord give us the big feet of faith to get the victory over the devil at this time and all his works. Let us bow our heads. We thank thee, O Lord, for thy word, for its encouragement and its blessing. And we pray that men may call on the Lord and see the Lamb of God breaking the power of sin and Satan in their life. And may God's people get out there and do the battling, especially at this time of visioning. And bless us in the battling in Stormont on Tuesday. Give us a victory for Jesus' sake. Amen and amen. May God bless his word to our hearts.